الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، قال جل وعلا: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite mercy and in His glory and in His majesty revealed His kalam. And in His kalam He revealed His surah, which is called Ummul Kitab, the surah which is called the mother of the book, and the surah which is also called the seven repeated ayat, Sab'al Masani. The significance of the surah is such that we know from the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who said that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there is no salah without the Fatiha to Kitab. He said there is no salah without the recitation of the Surah to Fatiha. There are two interpretations of this, as we know, where Imam Shafi'i and others have ruled that the surah must be recited by every individual, whether he is the imam or whether he is the muqtadi, in every rakat of every salah. And if he does not do that, then the salah is invalid. And then we have the ruling of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, who said that in the salah, the recitation of the imam is sufficient for the muqtadi, and therefore the one who is standing behind the imam need not recite Surah Al-Fatiha, because the imam is reciting it and the recitation of the imam is sufficient for the muqtadi. And Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh joined between these two rulings, and he said that the recitation of the imam when the imam can be heard, which is in Salatul Fajr and in the two rakat of Salatul Maghrib and in the two rakat of Salatul Isha. He said, when the imam is reciting aloud, when he is heard, then the recitation of the imam is sufficient for the muqtadi. But in the rakat and in the salawat where the imam is silent and is reciting silently, the muqtadi has to recite Suratul Fatiha on his own, without which his salah is not valid. Wallahu alam. I am just stating the ruling for the sake of completeness of whatever I have to say to you today. The key thing to understand in this surah is again the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the hadith of Qudsi, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, sahabi wasallam, informed us, where he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I have divided the salah between myself and my slave. And in this case, the term salah refers to Suratul Fatiha. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have divided the salah between myself and my slave. And when my slave says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hamdani Abdi. Allah says, my slave has praised me. And when the slave says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Majjadani Abdi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds. And then the slave says, Maliki Yawmiddin, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my slave has accepted the fact that I am the owner of the Day of Judgment. And then the slave says, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, O Allah, I worship only you and I ask for help only from you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now it is between my slave and me. whatever my slave asks me, I will give him. And then in His infinite majesty and grace and in His infinite mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us what to ask Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to ask Him for what? اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Now technically speaking, this surah would have been complete at this point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us to ask and we asked. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Oh Allah, guide us to the path of steadfastness. The path of istiqama. Many times people translate this as the straight path and so on. Wallahu alam. But the actual meaning of Siratul Mustaqim is the path of steadfastness, the path of consistency. Not one thing one day and then everything disappears. One day you stand all night in Salah and next day even the Salatul Fajr is gone. No. Path of consistency. Whatever amal we do must be done consistently, regularly, inshallah, until the time we die. There is a famous hadith where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to one of the Sahaba, and he said, do not be like so and so, who used to stand in the night and pray, and then he gave it up. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us istiqamat in our amal. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. But see the hikmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See the reasoning behind this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, oh Allah, guide us. He taught us to say, guide us to the path of steadfastness. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Having said that, mazid, on top of that, there is further reiteration and emphasis. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. Guide us to the path of steadfastness. Which is this path? Which is the path of steadfastness? The path of steadfastness is the path of those who received your pleasure, those you blessed, those on whom you made your in'am. Right? And who are those? Who are those people? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that very clearly. Who are those people? In a collective sense, أَنَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did his in'am on the nabiyyin, on the prophets, on the messengers, وَالصِّدِّقِينَ, on the people who were the siddiqoon, وَالشُّهَدَاءِ, the people who were shaheed fi sabilillah, وَالصَّالِحِينَ, the people who are the good people who come under the description of the sulaha, of the saliheen. So in a general sense, who are the anamta alayhim? All those people who come in under these four categories of people, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us among those categories where it is appropriate for us to be included. And then in a very specific and particular sense, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, Yasin wal Qur'an il Hakim, innaka lamina al mursaleen, ala siratum mustaqim. So when we are standing in salah and we are saying, oh Allah, ihdina sirat al mustaqim, you are saying, oh Allah, guide me to the path of the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Please understand this. Please understand this very clearly, because it's one of the fitan of this time is those people who call themselves Ahlul Quran and they do not understand the Quran itself. They call themselves Ahlul Quran and they deny the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They call themselves Ahlul Quran and they deny the Ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if you are Ahlul Quran and you just stood in Salah and you said Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, then, and if you deny the Sirat of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then whose Sirat do you want to follow? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only describes two kinds of Sirat. Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim, ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim wal-dallin. O Allah, guide us to the path of the people who you blessed. And the chief of them, and the first of them, and the imam of them is Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if that is not the path of guidance, O Allah, protect me from the path of those who attracted your anger and who were those who were misguided. صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. So if we want to deny the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no problem. The other road is also open. The road of those who attracted the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, we are still with the Hadith al-Qudsi, which talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responding to the slave who is reciting the surah. And that is why it was a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to recite the surah ayah by ayah by ayah. He did not join all the ayat. It's not impermissible to do that. You can join the ayat. Nothing wrong if you do that. But again, as we said, we don't want to get into the minimalist thinking. Is it wrong or right? No, we said what is better among the things? What is better among the things? تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. To test you and test and see which of you will do the best of the deeds. The understanding of ahsanul amal is not between the bad deed and the good deed. It is among the good deeds which is the superior one. Ahsan min al amal, which is the best of the good deeds, not the bad deed and the good deed. Ahsanu amala wa huwa al-azizul ghafur. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he informed us of this hadith al-Qudsi of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divided the surah al-Fatiha, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds individually to each ayah. And this is again the dalil of this is also from the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. You remember me, you mention me, and I will mention you. And in the Hadith al-Qudsi, which is related with that ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that when my slave remembers me within himself, in his own nafs, I remember him within myself. And when my slave remembers me in a gathering, I remember him in a gathering better than his. Because the gathering of Allah Jalla wa Ala is the gathering of the Muqarrabun among the Malaika, the Akabirin of the Malaika, Jibreel wa Mikael wa Israfil wa Hamalini Arsh, and the Malaika of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that my slave remembers me in a gathering, I remember him in a gathering which is better than his. I want you to, when we listen to these ahadith and when we listen to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reflect on this. Try to bring the istihzar of this ilm inside yourself. Try to bring the understanding of this ilm within yourself. Understanding, my brothers and sisters, is not intellectual understanding, not just the mind. It is the experiencing of that. It is the experiencing of that. And the sign of experiencing of that knowledge is that it produces action. It produces action. The example I give you, I have given several times, and some of you have heard this before, that early morning many of us like to go for a walk. So now we have gone for a walk and we are walking along. We are walking along a road which has big mansions all along it, big palaces and mansions. And you find that on the gates of these big mansions there is always usually a board which says, beware of dog. So you say, well, there's a dangerous dog inside this house and I should beware of it. So if you think about that and you say, well, you have read the board and you understand the language in which the board has been written, and the board says beware of dog, so you know that there is a dog in this house and I should be careful. So with respect to the knowledge, you have the complete knowledge of that situation. You know what is a dog. It's not that you've never seen a dog before. You know that, okay, these people have, you know, Rottweilers and Pit Terriers and whatever else, right, Pit Bulls. So therefore you know what you should be afraid of. You are aware. I mean, from a knowledge aspect, from the ilm aspect, you are completely aware. But as you walk along, you find that one of those houses, the gate is partially open. And as you come up to the gate, you see the dog sitting right there in front, and the dog sees you and you see the dog, and the dog stands up, and when the dog stands up you realize the dog is not chained. Now think about this. The extent of your knowledge has not increased. It's exactly the same thing. It's not that instead of the dog you are seeing a lion. No. Amount of your knowledge, intellectual understanding of the situation is exactly the same. There is no change. But something else has changed. What is that? You suddenly realize, how does this knowledge apply to me? How does this knowledge apply to me? And what is the sign of that? The sign of that is you start reciting the kalima. You say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. Because I'm going to die just now. This dog is going to eat me, and at least let me say the kalima before I die, you know. You will do something. You pull out a gun, shoot the dog, you run like hell or whatever. I mean, you know, you take some action. The sign of istihzarul ilm, the sign of understanding, true understanding of knowledge, is action. And that is why the ulama have said, the one who has knowledge and that knowledge is not visible in his action, he has no knowledge. The one who says he has knowledge, or he has knowledge, he has studied, but the knowledge is not visible in his action, he has no knowledge. He is jahil. He has no understanding. He's got some stuff in his head, that's it. And therefore, when we are listening to these ahadiths where Allah subhanahu and the kalam of Allah, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ, and the hadith, as I mentioned, that goes with it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when the slave remembers me in a gathering, I remember him in a gathering which is better than his, superior to his. Let us try to reflect on that. Let us try to bring that into our hearts. And let us stand, as we stand in salah and we say, oh Allah, or we sit in a gathering like this and we are remembering Allah, say, Fazkurun yaskurukum. Say, Ya Allah, you remembering me? You are taking my name? You are taking my name on your arsh? You are saying Abdul Qadir, and you are saying Murshid, and you are saying Zaid, and you are saying Nihal, and you are saying Ridwan, and you are saying Kaleen, and you are saying Akashwani. Hey? You are taking my name? What is the meaning of saying Allah is taking my name? We all know this, and many people have given these examples. Supposing somebody calls you and says, you know, I was just with this great man, whoever it is, this great president or prime minister or whoever, and you know, he mentioned your name. Maybe he saw your video or something like this, and he's very impressed, and he says, Mashallah, I want to meet this person. Who's this person? How would you feel? How would you feel? Why? How is it that we feel that about a human being who for the most part is in a position which is impermanent? In any case, what most part? In any case, it's impermanent because he will die. And even if he doesn't die, next election he loses the election and he's gone. He's on the street. I mean, somebody else is in the seat. But we don't have the same sense of majesty when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because we understand within quotes the greatness of that human being, and we do not understand the actual real greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about that. Who is Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created this ocean. And this ocean that we are sitting in front of seems very big to us. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if all the water of all the seven seas, all the oceans, is taken and Mikail alayhi salam puts it on his head, the water will not fall off his head. The makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so huge that he says, all this water, if you put it on the head, it will not fall off the head. And when I heard this hadith, I thought to myself, and you know, we believe the hadith of course, but you see, how is this? Until one day I was doing some research, and it's one of my presentations, and someday when you are not too sleepy in the night or the morning, tell me, I'll show it to you. That presentation of mine which is on the universe. I've called it the cosmology in the Quran. And when I looked at the relative size of the planets, and you look at the relative size of Earth compared to some of the other planets, we find that this entire Earth, this whole world, the tari and the khushki, the water and the land, everything together is less than one grain of sand on a beach. You're sitting on the beach, pick up one grain of sand. Actually, pick up one grain of sand. The sand is so fine that I don't think even to find a grain will be difficult. When you pick up, you will always pick up more than one grain. Pick up one grain of sand. This whole world and all that it contains is less than one grain of sand on a beach. So if somebody made you the king of the entire world, and believe me, no one was ever king of the entire world. No one was ever. They were the only. The man who controlled the largest empire in history ever was Genghis Khan. In his own lifetime, he controlled an empire which extended from China all the way into Europe to the borders of Austria. And no other king in the world ever ruled an empire of that size. Nobody, no, not the Muslims, not anybody. That is the largest empire ever to exist. But that also was a small piece of that grain of sand. So even if somebody gives you this kingdom of this entire world, you still are king of one grain of sand on a beach. What kind of kingdom is that? And on that grain of sand on a beach, there is a little droplet which is called the ocean. Now if that droplet, if you take and put it on your head, it will go away somewhere in your head. So what is so difficult to believe with regard to the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's a matter of scale. I'm saying this so that we understand, when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we are reciting Suratul Fatiha, we must understand the magnificence and the glory and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this Allah Jalla wa Ala, who created this entire universe, all that we know and all that we don't know, is focused and interested in responding to us when we are reciting His kalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's tawajjuh is towards us. When I am saying Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is responding to me personally. Majjadai abdi. Hamdani abdi. Not ibadi, abdi. My slave. Which one? This one who just said it. Who's that? Me. Bring that into your life. Bring that into your awareness when you recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began the surah with His own name. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim is the first ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha. Out of the seven ayah, this is ayah number one. If you recite Surah Al-Fatiha without the Bismillah, then you have not recited Surah Al-Fatiha. Once again, there are two opinions. There are some Sahaba who used to recite Bismillahirrahmanirrahim aloud, based on which Imam Shafi'i and others said that it is necessary to say Bismillahirrahmanirrahim aloud. There were other Sahaba like Abu Bakr Siddiq and others who recited Bismillahirrahmanirrahim silently, and they began the loud recitation from Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And therefore Imam Abu Hanifa and others and Imam Malik, they said it is enough to start from Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. But nobody said that Bismillah should not be recited. So please understand very clearly, whether you are reciting Bismillah softly or whether you are reciting it aloud is no problem, but you have to say Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, because that is the first ayat of Surah Al-Fatiha. If you forget the Bismillah and you just start with Alhamdulillah, the surah is not completed, therefore your salah is invalid. And of course, when we start this, when we start salah, we also say A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, and then we say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and we say A'udhu Billah because Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala ordered us to do that. وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala said, when you want to recite the Quran, ask the protection of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala from the Shaitanir Rajeem. So we start with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We begin. With in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Rahman ur Rahim. And then we start and we say Alhamdulillah لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. All praise and all thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the Rabb of the Alameen, of the creation, of the universe, of the human beings and the jinn, and of all that He has created. What is Rabb? Rabb is the one who takes a thing which is incomplete, stage by stage, to a state of completeness. شے ناقص کو بتدریج کمال کے درجے پر پہنچانے والے کا نام رب ہے. Something which is ناقص, something which is incomplete. The one who takes it stage by stage to a stage of completeness is the رب. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is رب العالمین. And we are saying all praise and all thanks is to Allah, who is Rabbul Alameen. So when we read this ayah, when we recite this ayah, we need to reflect and say, what is it that I have to thank Allah for? And that is the homework I want to give you for today. I want you to write a list of things that you believe you need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Write that list down. Write a list down. And say, what is it that I have to thank Allah for? And then when you are praying tahajjud, in sujood, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically for each and every one of them. It is the tragedy of most of us that we only remember the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we no longer have it. We don't remember it while we have it. We take it for granted. When we lose it, then we remember it. When we could read without glasses, we never thought about that. But now when even the faces are blurred, without the glasses, then you remember it. You say, I should have. There was a time when I did not need glasses. When you can run up and down mountains, you run up and down mountains. But when to climb a set of stairs, your knees start paining, your knees start hurting, or you start climbing down, your knees start hurting, then you realize that knee worked perfectly well for 50 years without complaint. How many times in 50 years did I bend this knee? Is it possible to even count? I eat whatever I want to eat, I go to sleep, my digestive system continues to work. What if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given it into our control and said, run your own digestion? What would happen? What would happen? Absolute disaster. What if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, in this LEC we have several of our young brothers and sisters, several babies. What if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let me ask those parents who have their babies here, did you specifically make dua for the kind of child that you have? Did you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me a child like this? This is the description. I want a child who is healthy and mentally sane and not mentally retarded, and there's no other problem with the child, and the child has a nice smile, and the child has a good temperament, and this and this and this. Did you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those things? What if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said, ask Allah, you ask me, and whatever you ask me, I'll give you. What kind of children would we have? How are we going to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Tell me. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We haven't even got past the first ayat yet, yeah? So it looks like this Fajr reminder will be a Zuhar reminder, and Asr reminder, and Maghrib reminder, and Isha reminder. This is the nature of the majesty of our Rabb, and He said this. He said that if the trees were pens, and if these seas became ink, you would exhaust all of these seas, and then you get another bunch of seas of the same size, full of ink, you would still not be able to write all the ta'rif and all the praise of your Rabb. Who am I to praise my Rabb in a way that is in keeping with His majesty and grace? We only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept whatever weak stuff we do and not punish us for not praising Him as it is His right that He should be praised. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. In Tafsir Ibn Kathir, Ibn Kathir has recorded the hadith where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said there was a man who praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the following words. And he said, Rabbi laka alhamdu kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhika wa azimi sultanik. He said, oh my Rabb, laka alhamd, all praise and thanks be to you. And laka alhamd, all praise and thanks be to you. How? Kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhik. In keeping with the glory and majesty of your glorious countenance. Wa azimi sultanik. And in keeping with the glory and majesty of your great kingdom. Now the malaika recording the deeds. Rasulullah said that these malaika got confused because this was the first time that they had heard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being praised in these words. So they did not know what reward to record for this praise. So they went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they said, Ya Rabb, your slave has praised you in words which we have never heard before. What reward should we write for him? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows already what the slave said, who is not dependent on the malaika to tell him what the slave said, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knew what the slave was going to say before even the slave knew what he was going to say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the malaika, He said, what did my slave say? And whenever we hear a hadith like this where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the malaika this or that, what is our understanding? Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asking the malaika? In order to establish witnesses in favor of his slave. Not because he doesn't know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the malaika and he said, what did my slave say? And the malaika say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, your slave said, Rabbi laka alhamdu kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhika wa azimi sultanik. And they say, what should we write for this? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the malaika, you write down his words as he said them. And I will reward him in keeping with the grace and majesty of my countenance and with the majesty of my kingdom. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for myself and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you to give you the words to praise Him that will please Him. So think of the words to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi is standing in salah, in tahajjud. Before he begins his salah, he's standing in the middle of the night. Before he begins his salah, he says, oh my Rabb. He says, Ya Rabbi, there are only two who are awake. He says, even the stars have gone to sleep. Even the stars have set. He says, there are only two who are awake. He says, you on your arsh and me standing here. The ta'alluq, the connection with Allah. They are not doing a mechanical exercise of standing in salah. He's standing in salah, he's connecting with his Rabb. He is talking to somebody who listens. He is talking to somebody who hears him. He is talking to somebody who responds to him. He is talking to somebody who is waiting to hear his recitation. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, recite the Quran in a nice way. And he said, recite aloud. And he said, recite at the same time every day if you can. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waits to hear your recitation. And when the recitation starts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls the attention of the malaika towards that slave who is reciting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, listen to my slave Adil who is reciting the Quran. Listen to him. Ajib. Ajib. It's like you're waiting for your favorite radio station to come online. And then you say, hold on. Everybody keep quiet. I'm listening to this radio station. Hmm?
When you recite the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't do these things mechanically. Don't just pick up the Quran, I have to do my dawah, today I have to finish three juz, khalas, you know, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, no. Before you go anywhere near that, sit down and think and say, Allah, I am going to start recitation. And my Rabb will be listening. I am going to start recitation and Allah will be listening. And Allah is not listening mechanically. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting to listen to me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing the attention of His malaika, calling me by name on His arsh, mentioning me by name on His arsh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling the attention of His malaika and saying, listen to my slave who is reciting my kalam. So how must we recite this kalam? How must we recite this kalam? What should be the quality of our recitation? How can we recite the kalam and make mistakes? How can we recite the kalam and recite it in a way which is not in keeping with the rules of this kalam? Eh? There was a teacher who used to teach singing. I knew her personally. She was in Bangalore. She used to teach Hindustani vocal singing. Right? Raga. And one day she told me, she said that when I was very young, she said I must have been about 8 years old or 9 years old. And she said, I used to like to sing the songs which were sung by one of the great singers in India. Her name was Begum Akhtar. So she said, I used to like to sing the songs of Begum Akhtar. And she said, my ustad one day took me to meet Begum Akhtar. So she said, it was a great day for me. I'm going to actually meet this great singer whose songs I sing and who I look up to. So this little girl who was 8 years old or 9 years old, she said, my ustad took me there and introduced me to Begum Akhtar and said to Begum Akhtar, my ustad said, Begum sahab, ye aapka gana bada achha gaati hai. He said, Begum sahab, this girl sings your song very nicely. Your song, she sings them very nicely. So she said, Begum Akhtar says to me, beta suna, koi gana suna. He said, Begum Akhtar says to me, my daughter, sing one of my songs. Let me hear you. Listen carefully. That lady, Hindu lady, and this incident she is telling me, and when I met her, she was past 60. She's talking about something which happened when she was 8 years old. She said, hum sakte mein pad gaye. She said, I was completely dumbfounded. So I said, kyun? Why? She said, Begum Akhtar ka gana Begum Akhtar ko sunai. She said, Begum Akhtar song, I have to recite to Begum Akhtar herself. Wallahi subhanallah. Do we have this feeling when we recite the kalam of Allah to Him? Are us gaane wale ke dil mein jitni cheez thi, humare dil mein nahi, Allah ke taluq se. That singer, what she had in her heart, we do not have with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She said, how can I sing the song of Begum Akhtar before Begum Akhtar? What if I make a mistake? And we recite the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anyway. Ghalat salat jaisa padho. Khatam karne se matlab. Read anyway, doesn't matter. We have to finish, that's all that is required. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. Rabbul Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Rahman is on the same wazan and the same level as Jawan, wa Atshan, wa Ghadban. Very hungry, very thirsty, very angry. Rahman is the superlative form of mercy. the peak of mercy. The peak of mercy, which encompasses everything. But you know, there is a problem with peak emotions. There is a problem with peaks. What is that problem? It doesn't stay there forever. You are extremely hungry until when? Until you eat the first morsel of food. You are extremely angry until when? For a little while. How long can you be angry? You are extremely happy, how long? Until you get used to that thing which was giving you happiness. The problem with peaks is they don't stay forever. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about His mercy? Warraheem. Ar-Rahmanur Raheem. Raheem is on the same version as Jameel wa Kareem. Somebody is Jameel, somebody is beautiful, they do not turn ugly the next day. If they are beautiful, they remain beautiful. They don't turn ugly the next day. Jameel, Raheem, Rahmanur Raheem is the one whose mercy is at the peak forever. His mercy is at the peak forever. And we ask Him to cover us in His mercy and cover us in His forgiveness. Ar-Rahmanur Raheem, Maliki Yawmiddin. And He is the owner of the Day of Judgment. Who is the owner of the Day of Judgment? Think about this and reflect. You and I could not have persuaded or forced Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for positioning those ayat where He positioned them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Al-Qahhar wal-Jabbar wal-Muntaqim, Maliki Yawmiddin. Because those are also the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this in so many words. لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَّارِ. Who does this day belong to? The day belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارِ. But in this surah which you have to recite every salah, every rakat, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? See the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first described His mercy. And He described His mercy in these terms, that My mercy is at the peak forever. Not temporarily. And I am the one who is the owner of the Day of Judgment. O My slave, you will come before Me, but do not fear. Do not fear. Because I am Rahmanur Raheem. Ar-Rahmanur Raheem fi dunya wal akhirah. O My slave, if you worship Me, if you accept Me, if you have Iman on Me, then do not fear, because I am the one on the Day of Judgment. I own that day. There are no kings on that Day of Judgment. Rahmanur Raheem, Maliki Yawmiddin. And then what does the slave do? The slave has begun in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has begun with thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the tartib of our lives, my brothers and sisters. Think about that. The Surah Al-Fatiha is the tartib of our lives. The slave began in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has begun with thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with glorifying Him with praise. And then he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he drew attention to the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he remembered his akhirah, his own akhirah, Maliki Yawmiddin. This whole dunya is a place for us to prepare for our akhirah. The life of this world is preparation for the akhirah. So the slave praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he prepared and he thought about his akhirah. And when he thought about his akhirah, what is the first thing that he does? He defines his position in this dunya. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. When he remembers that one day I will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the first thing that he must do? He must correct his aqidah. He must correct his belief. And he must correct his amal. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Iyyaka na'budu is aqeedah. What is my belief? And Iyyaka nasta'een is amal. Asking help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also part of aqeedah. But it is also amal, because help people ask from others. But the slave is straightening himself and he's saying, Ya Rab, I ask only you. Because I worship only you. Because only you are worthy of worship. There's no one worthy of worship except you. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. The slave straightens himself and corrects his aqidah, and he is making this covenant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is making this promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is swearing up before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying that I worship only you. And I ask for help from no one other than you. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. And when the slave does that, it pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, now it is between me and the slave. And what is the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the slave to ask him? Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. My brothers and sisters, Allah did not ask us to ask for Jannah. Allah did not teach us to ask for Jannah. You can ask for Jannah, and Allah taught us to ask for Jannah in other places. I'm talking about this particular ayah in Surah Al-Fatiha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not teach us to ask for Jannah here. He taught us to ask to remain on the right path all our lives. Islam is not to reach a destination. Islam is to stay on the path. On the right path. Because if you stay on the right path, then the right path will lead you to the destination. Sheikh Nasiruddin Albani, rahmatullahi alayhi, that this is his interpretation. This is what he has written. To say that Islam is to stay on the right path. It is not to reach a particular destination. The destination is a derivative of the path. If you stay on the right path and you continue to walk in the right direction, one day you will reach the right destination, inshallah. The meaning being that the destination is not reachable by any other path. If you had focused on the destination, then you could have been fallen into the trap and said, well, there is this path and there's also some other path, and as long as I'm reaching the destination, all roads lead to Rome. But only one road leads to Jannah. And that is the road that Allah is now talking about, where He said, Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhi. And as I mentioned to you, whose way is that? That way is the way of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhi. The way of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. What is the need for this further reiteration, further emphasis? It is when you give directions. When you give directions, you tell somebody, when you go out of the gate, turn right. Don't turn left, turn right. When you say turn right, it automatically means you don't turn left. Why are you saying don't turn left? Because you want to reinforce. You want to reinforce this thing and say, take a right turn, do not take a left turn. Even though take a right turn means do not take a left turn. But you still say it. You still say it. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. My brothers and sisters, who are the مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ? Who are the dhalin? Very quickly we do this translation and we check it out. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ. Who are the مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ? The Jews. Who are the dhalin? The Christians. Assalamu alaikum. I'm neither Jew nor Christian. Doesn't apply to me. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said Jews and Christians. Was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped for words? He had to say مَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ and dhalin. He could not have said Yahud or Nasara. Maghdoob alayhim is anybody who does anything which attracts the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether he is Jew or Christian or Muslim or Sikh or whatever, makes no difference. If a Muslim does something which attracts the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Muslim is among the maghdoob alayhim. The fact that the person has a name Abdul Karim does not change anything. The fact that his father's name is Abdul Rahim does not change anything. Maghdubi alayhim. And therefore, Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziya rahmatullah alayhi said, Surah al-Fatiha is tawbah. He said, Surah al-Fatiha is tawbah. When the man is saying, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in, he is making tawbah from worshipping anyone other than Allah and asking for help from anyone other than Allah. When he is saying, Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, he is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for hidayat and guidance to the path of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is making tawbah from following the path of anyone other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the person is saying ghayrul maghdubi alayhim, he is making tawbah for all those amal that he or she may have done which can attract the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah al-Fatiha is tawbah. And when the person is saying walad dhalin, and oh Allah, not the path of those who got misguided, people who enter into ghulu, people who want to praise Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alhamdulillah, if there is a Muslim who does not love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than he loves anything and everything else in the world, then that Muslim is a kafir. His iman does not exist. But the same Muslim, when he takes this love of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and raises it to a level where now the boundaries between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Nabi are foggy, where he has raised Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now to a position which is bordering or included in the divine position, then that Muslim has become a mushrik. He is committing shirk. What did the Christians do with Isa alayhi salam? Did they abuse him or did they overpraise him? They didn't abuse him. They loved Isa alayhi salam so much that they said he is son of God, and then somebody says he is actually God himself. And what do the Muslims say about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam? Na'udhu billah. They say Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam is not Bashar, he is Noor. When the Rabb of Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam, who created him, said he is Bashar, he said, Qul ana Basharum mithlukum. And people say, no, that's only a way of speaking. So now you are saying Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not a Bashar, he is Noor, and you are saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually lied when he said that he is a Bashar. See where it leads you. See where all these deviated aqaid lead you. So we make tawbah from this and we say, oh Allah, no. We believe what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to believe. We do not invent in this deen. We do not create innovations in this deen. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. The slave makes tawbah. Ameen. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you are Ameen, when you recite Surah Al-Fatiha, the Malaika who are there, they also say Ameen. And he said, when your Ameen coincides with the Ameen of the Malaika, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. And some people said this Ameen therefore should be said loudly, and some people said the Malaika do not need for it to be said loudly, and therefore it should not be said loudly, the Muqtadeen should not say it loudly, the Ameen should be said silently. Alhamdulillah, all of these opinions are good. Inshallah, whichever mazhab you follow, follow it, no problem. Alhamdulillah. Don't invent, don't create your own mazhab. That's important. Yeah? Just as on a side note, I've seen some of you praying. You make Rafaidain. But how do you make Rafaidain? When the Imam says Sabihallahu Aliman Hamidah, you stand up, Allahu Akbar, you stand like this. And then when he says Allahu Akbar to go into Sajda, you can say Allahu Akbar and you go again. Rafaidain is to raise your hand once. Yes? When you stand up, you raise your hand once. So where is the second raising of the hand? Where did that come from? So when you are following a mazhab, follow a mazhab properly. If you are following the Hanafi mazhab, you raise your hand only once and that's the end of the story. If you are following the Shafi mazhab, alhamdulillah, you make Rafaidain and they dalail for this, dalail for that, all of that is, we know the dalail, alhamdulillah, both are fine. But do that, don't invent it from your side. People raise their hands for... No, if you are doing something, learn the mazhab properly. And if you are doing the movements, and even Rafaidain, some people, you don't know whether he is raising his hand Rafaidain or whether he is brushing off a fly or what he is doing. Some people do Rafaidain right down here. Like this. Like this. Like this. What? Rafaidain, raise your hands to the level up here. To the level of your shoulders. This is Rafaidain. Either do it or don't do it. I mean, it is better for you not to do it than to be brushing flies or swatting rats, or I don't know, I mean, what is all this? Just moving hand anyway. Let us learn to pray properly. Perform all the movements correctly. And whichever madhab you follow, alhamdulillah, do that, but do that properly. Don't invent your own, you know. So please, be careful of that. So I want to end with this by reminding myself and you that the Surah Al-Fatiha is Tawbah. The Surah Al-Fatiha is the praise of Allah's glory and majesty. The Surah Al-Fatiha is the correcting of our Aqeedah. The Surah Al-Fatiha is the roadmap for us for the rest of our life. The Surah Al-Fatiha is a reminder for us in every rakat of every salah, whether it is fard or sunnah or nafil, of how we must lead life on the face of this planet. The Surah Al-Fatiha is a reminder that we will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to His glory and majesty, to open our hearts to His kalam, to bring the love of Himself, the love of His kalam in our hearts, to enable us to recite His kalam in a way which is in keeping with the glory and majesty of the kalam, to help us to understand His kalam when we recite it, to help us to recite that kalam in such a way that we have this tazar of what we are doing, we have the feeling and understanding of what we are doing, that we can link to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are reciting His kalam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remember us when we remember Him as He said He will do. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the feeling of being remembered by Him when we remember Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree that there should not be a single instance in our lives, that there should not be a single breath, that there should not be the gap between the blinking of an eye when we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we always and continuously remember Allah Jalla wa Ala until the last moment of our life, and that the last words of our life as we die are words of praise of His glory and His majesty. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimeen. والحمد لله رب العالمين.